Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text number 19. Niyachutam priyata prinateyo bhavayaso suratmaja atmatvatarvabhutanam Siddhat mad vad iha sarvata. Na, not. He, indeed. Achutam, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prinayataha, satisfying. Bahu, much. Ayasa, endeavor. Asura atmaja, O sons of demons. Atmatvat, because of being intimately related as the Supersoul. Sarabhutanam, of all living entities. Siddhatvat, because of being established. Iha, in this world. Sarvataha, in all directions, in all times, and from all angles of vision. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relation between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Purport. One may ask, one is certainly very attached to family life, but if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? This is not a valid objection. The Lord asserts in the Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Sarva yonishi kunteya murtiyak sambhavantiya tasad brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradak pitaha. Should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Narayan is the seed-giving father of all living entities, because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Mavai vangso jiva buddha. As there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relation between a father and son, there is no difficulty in establishing the natural, intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. Svapamapyasi dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayan is always ready to save one from the greatest danger. The definite example is Ajamil. Ajamil separated himself from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing many sinful activities and was condemned by Yamaraj to be very severely punished. But because at the time of death he chanted the name of Narayan, although he was calling not for the Supreme Lord Narayan, but for his son named Narayan, he was saved from the hands of Yamaraj. Therefore, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. Pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It is very easy. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful. Whereas one will never be successful in pleasing the so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. The simple endeavor involved in the devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed his blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, one must take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Na-ya-chutam pranipri-natyato bhava-yaso-saratmaja atmat-vat-sarvabhutanam siddhat-vad-iha-sarvataha. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there is no impediments to pleasing him or worshiping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. On one hand, it says that devotional service, here it says it's easy to please Krishna. On the other side, it says devotional service is difficult. So is it easy, difficult to please Krishna, or is the process easy or is it difficult? Well, obviously, if it was so easy, then we'd all be pure devotees by now. We'd all be seeing Krishna face to face. And it was so difficult that none of us would be here either. If we had a fast for 30 days every other month, you wouldn't see anyone here. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't stay here. On the other hand, Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pravakshavagramam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. That this is the king of education, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, the most secret of all secrets. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam, the purest of all. Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pravakshavagramam Dharmyam. It is the essence of all religion, is everlasting, and is joyfully performed. In other words, devotional service can be very joyful if we're in that mood, and it can be very depressing if we're in that mood also. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the path of religion is the path of Krishna consciousness is undoubtedly difficult. And therefore one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the simple succession from the Lord himself. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciple succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is. In other words, it can be very easily if we accept it. At least it's possible, and it becomes impossible if we don't accept it. Now, if we don't accept the path of bhakti yoga as given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting Hare Krishna, it's because we have other desires. In other words, every conditioned soul has come to the material world with a whole lot of plans of how to become happy in the material world. And due to deep faith in this happiness, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Yanmai tu naidi, griha medi, sukham hitu cham. One believes that by sense gratification, if it's properly arranged, then one will find eternal bliss forever, ever increasing. And therefore, so many novels have been written about it, so many different dramas, so many songs, so many movies, so many things about how wonderful sense gratification is and that it can bring us eternal happiness. So we've been trained up like that since birth. And therefore, that's called asura. And of course, no one, I think, here went to Gurukul and was trained to control your senses from birth. You don't go to school and the teacher says, today we're going to fast. You can drink some water if you really have to, but here we're all going to fast and we're going to spend the whole day chanting japa. Is that all right with everyone? No television, no! This is torture. No video games. Take your, you know, little smartphones. Today you won't have a smartphone, so you're going to become stupid. No, I'm calling the police. They call the police and the teacher gets arrested.
What did he do?
He told them to take their smartphones away and no television. Oh, 20 years in jail. I can't believe it. Torturing children at such a young age. So we've been addicted to different degrees, especially nowadays. You see children, their necks are curved because they're always looking at their cell phone. Always playing their game. Bang, 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 bang. Their whole consciousness is just absorbed in killing things on the screen in dark dungeons with dark people who look strange. And for them, it's their friends or their enemies. So with such a mentality, when you start chanting Hare Krishna, then the mind becomes very disturbed because it's not used to doing anything pure. It's not used to being trying to be controlled. Wherever the mind is taking someone, that's where one goes. Wherever the video screen is going, the mind goes with it. So one is used to being controlled by external forces and never trying to take control oneself. Of course, taking control oneself means to take shelter of Krishna, because it's only by Krishna's intelligence that he can give us that we can control the mind. We have no ability to control our mind by ourselves, but only in relationship with Krishna. But people aren't taught that. The Tevidu Swarthagatim Hi Vishnu, they don't know the game of life is obtaining Krishna. Dharashaya Bahir Arthamanina, and they're absorbed in so many superficial things. As if their favorite soccer team wins, they gain anything. And if it loses, then what have they lost? They haven't gained anything and they haven't lost anything. But they're completely absorbed in this superficial gaining and losing. Therefore, Krishna says, Udharat atmanatmanam atmanam abhisarayat atmaiva yatmano bandura atmaiva ripur atmanaha. That a person has to elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. One has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will become the greatest enemy. So who's thinking like that? Of course people think like that nowadays. So much meditation is going on. But they sit there in one place, they try to control their mind, and after 20 seconds they get bored, and they keep on sitting to make the show that they're meditating. And only Krishna knows what they're thinking about. And then they get up and they do the same thing that they were doing if they had never meditated in the first place. In other words, if meditation had actually made them happy and peaceful, why would they go out and do the same things that agitated their minds before? And is explained here by Prahlad Maharaj that all these endeavors we have to become happy, especially family life, trying to please our society, our community, the nation, is quite an endeavor. And at the end, no one really cares about you. If you go out and fight in a war, and the result was, and you die, they just take your body and throw it in some bag and put it, you know, just put it into the earth. No one really cares. You just become another dead body. Prabhupada says during the riots between the Hindus and the Muslims in India, he observed that the Hindus came out with their knives and their sticks, and the Muslims came out with their knives and sticks. They fought each other, and then so many dead bodies. And the next day, the garbage people came, and they just took the bodies and threw them into a pile. No one cares at all about them. One is thinking, this, I'm doing such an important thing in this fight. But at the end, they're just another piece of material energy just to be thrown into a pile for the vultures to come and have a feast. The only people that benefited were the vultures. And yet people falsely believe they're actually doing something valuable. At great expense, great endeavor. And the amount of happiness they can get from such a thing is so insignificant, it's called tuchavat. On the other hand, it said, tyaktva deha puna, tyaktva purnama shesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavat. Bhutvadina gunesha ko karunaya gopi nakanta shito gopi bhava rasamrita dilahari kolo lamagna moho pande rupa sanatano raguyago shi jiva gopalago. So Prabhupada mentions, well, this is the prayers of six Goswamis by Srinivasacharya. Tyaktva deha, tyaktva purnam ashesha mandala pati. So tyaktva means to give up. Tyaktva purna ashesha mandala pati. So these were persons, the six Goswamis, they're very respectable in human society. Probably gives the example of C.R. Das in India. C.R. Das was a lawyer and he was making around 40,000 rupees every month. And at that time, a rupee and a dollar were the same. So he's making $40,000 a month. He was fabulously wealthy, and he became attracted to Gandhi's movement. So he said, Gandhi, I'll give you my money, but you allow me to be a magistrate in the court, a banister in the court. But at that time, Gandhi was saying we should boycott the court. So he said, no, you become a member of our movement and give up your practice as a lawyer. So he did that. And Gandhi was giving him 50 rupees a month to live on. So he became so disturbed, so brokenhearted, that within a couple of months he died. Because he was so attached to his opulent life, he couldn't give it up. Although he thought he could, but actually he didn't get anything in return. He just got 50 rupees and involvement in a political movement. On the other hand, the six Goswamis, they gave up everything, princely status of life, government service, and they went to Vrindavan where they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling the separation from Krishna. The Prabhupada writes that those in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, his teachings, his qualities, that the spiritual master should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional level, feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So that's how to control the mind, is get the higher taste of actually experiencing Krishna by meditating on him, especially his transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes. That's all the gopis do in Vrindavan. They're not expert. Well, they're expert at cooking. They're expert at making garlands. But probably in the present society, if they came here, they couldn't even get a job. They'd have to fill out the application, and they'd say, how much schooling do you have? And they write down, never went to school. Well, what did you learn? I know I'm expert at making garlands. Really? You know anything else? Well, we can make yogurt.
Sorry.
See if you can collect unemployment insurance. You're unemployable. So they had no, basically speaking, nowadays they'd be considered, you know, less intelligent, unemployable. What do you do during the day? Oh, I just think about Krishna. Oh my God, you're brainwashed. Another Hare Krishna. Probably ask you something, all you can say is Hare Krishna. That's right. You're useless. But they were completely absorbed in ecstasy, in love of Krishna, and therefore they were considered to, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to be the highest examples of perfection. Yani shasara bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanusha pashuto mune. What is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is the night for this of all sentient beings, what is the time of awakening for all for the self-controlled, is a night for all sentient beings. So our idea of fixing the mind upon Krishna and experiencing transcendental happiness like that and avoiding all the unnecessary disturbance as much as possible from material existence is considered to be barbaric. And our looking at people working so hard, trying to get a little happiness, and getting very little in return for all their endeavor, simply creating problems, is considered to be barbaric by the devotees. Because everything requires practice, and therefore there is four ashrams, and all the four ashrams, one gets a chance to have regulated sense gratification, and at the same time practice becoming Krishna conscious. But household life without Krishna consciousness means that one will simply get into great difficulty, as every ashram. If without Krishna consciousness, one will simply wind up as an animal. It's not that only the householders are supposed to be thinking about Krishna, and the sannyasis and the vanaprasas and brahmacharis, they just think about whatever they want to think about. That doesn't work. Everyone has to think about Krishna. Just the question of how much. Now, when you're young, then you're not so much distracted, hopefully, by material desires. And therefore, you can spend the time hearing and learning so that you can grow up. And when you do, if you want to become a householder, then you won't be so much distracted either. You'll be able to become attracted to the process of devotional service. And then the householders, they get experience, and gradually they can learn how material sense gratification compared to devotional service is insignificant. If they don't learn that, then household life is a failure. They may think that if I make a lot of money and get a big, big house, my children all become lawyers and doctors, then my household life is successful. And if I can die in a hospital and spend $1 million on a hospital bill, then certainly my life was very good. And then if they can put me in some tomb and it's bigger than all my competitors, the stone on the tomb is bigger, then certainly this is the mark of my success in life. And if you tell them that success in life is controlling your mind and senses and ultimately becoming a pure devotee of Krishna, people will think, oh, it's typical, what a cult member would say, who's frustrated. He can't compete with the other normal people, and therefore they dropped out. They put on, because they can't afford anything else, they put on bed sheets. The very sheets that they're sleeping in, they have to wear during the day. And they just mindlessly chanting this same thing over again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Polly want a cracker, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Therefore, people are not going to understand, unless they practice Krishna consciousness, they'll never understand what we're doing. And unless we practice Krishna consciousness, we'll never understand what we're doing either. We'll never understand why are we going through all this austerity, unless we become happy by doing it, unless we gradually find out it's easier than we thought it was, unless we actually make a sincere effort to control the mind, then it'll always appear to be impossible to do. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that yat agre vishamiva parinami ritopama tatsukam satvikam protam atmabuddhi prasadaja. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison, and the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So it is never said that devotional service, trying to control the mind and fix it on Krishna, is going to be easy. It's very, very difficult. In the beginning, it seems bitter like poison. It's like fasting. If one is actually fasting, but engaged on a holiday like Janmasthami, but fully engaged in devotional service, then the hours go by very quickly. And one feels an ever greater sense of lightness and clarity of consciousness. But if one doesn't engage in devotional service and just fasts on Janmasthami, then every 5 minutes one is looking at the watch and doing a countdown and listening to the stomach, grumble, grumble, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'd love to feed you, but what can I do? So it's a question not just giving up material existence, but engaging in spiritual existence to the point where it becomes easy and happy. But that takes practice and detachment, as Krishna says. Arjuna said, it's impossible to control my mind. And Krishna said, yes, it's difficult. Samachayamahabaho, manodinirigraham chalam, abhyasena tukondiya, vairagyena tigriyate. It is undoubtedly difficult to control the mind. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, you rascal, you're in Maya, get out of Maya. You're an embarrassment to the Hare Krishna movement. No, he said, it's undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it's possible, Arjuna, by suitable practice and by detachment. So we have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna and happily chant Hare Krishna. Not, oh, it's a great burden, 16 rounds, it's too much, you know. I have so many other things to do. Get rid of these rounds as soon as possible, and my heart will feel peaceful again. One has to... That is susukam kartum avyam. We're supposed to approach it joyfully, not as a big, big burden. Then Krishna can reciprocate. Krishna doesn't want a whole bunch of morose people in the spiritual world. Look at that person, he's so morose, he must be really going through austerity. Let's bring him to the spiritual world, he really deserves it. We tortured him enough. Now in the spiritual world, everyone is joyful. They're happy to do service. They're ecstatic to do service. And unless we come to that point, then we'll have to stay here and learn how to become happy doing devotional service. And the only reason why we're not happy is because our minds are wandering to so many other ideas, so many other desires, so many other thoughts that we think will make us happy rather than devotional service. And of course, if we become too absorbed in those things, then we have to go out and experience it again and find out it was tuchava, it was insignificant. And then we come back again to devotional service to try to find where real happiness lies rather than where happiness is advertised to be. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Everyone's still breathing? We don't have our questionnaires here, so I guess we'll have to stop. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.